Certificate of Services to Brooke Leslie for her service and dedication on the Economic Development Committee from November 18th to October 21. Is Brooke here tonight? Not seeing that. Kim will have that lined up for you. And she's got two here. This next one is for Brooke Leslie for her service dedication to the Wrangell Convention and Visitor Bureau, November 18th to October 21. So thanks to Brooke for those years of service as well. Next, I do have a proclamation to read, and this is, every year we do this one, and it's one of my favorites. It's the Extra Mile Day Proclamation, November 1st, 2021. Whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which acknowledges that a special vibrancy exists within the entire community when its individual citizens collectively go the extra mile in personal effort, volunteerism, and service. And whereas Wrangell, Alaska is a community which encourages its citizens to maximize their personal contribution to the community by giving of themselves wholeheartedly and with total effort, commitment, and conviction to their individual ambitions, families, friends, and community. And whereas Wrangell is a community which chooses to shine a light and celebrate individuals and organizations within its community who go the extra mile in order to make a difference and lift up fellow members of their community. And whereas the city and borough of Wrangell acknowledges the mission of Extra Mile America to create 550 Extra Mile cities in America and is proud to support Extra Mile Day on November 1st, 2021. Now, therefore, I, Stephen Prasanka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim November 1, 2021 to be Extra Mile Day. And I urge each individual in the community to take the time on this day to not only go the extra mile in his or her own life, but also to acknowledge all those who are inspirational in their efforts and commitment to make their organizations, families, community, country, and the world a better place. We missed the galaxy.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you. All right. Kim, when you're settled back, we'll get you to call the roll, please.
I'm going to have it. It's okay. Robbie, you
can handle that. Robbie, please call the roll. This is official.
Okay. Assembly members, DeVore.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Howell.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
And I'm here as well. Thank you, Robbie. Item three, Kim, do you have the persons to be heard?
Yes.
I'll just read this while we're waiting. Persons to be heard, section WMC 3.05.040C states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in booing or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name-calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting a meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by a majority vote of the assembly. So tonight we have signed up Brianna Walker with Salmon Without Borders. Good evening, Ms. Walker.
Good evening. Can you hear me all right?
We've got you. I just want to check with you. Do you want to wait to speak right before we take up the item, or would you like to speak now? It's completely up to you.
I would be happy to wait and speak right before the item.
Perfect.
Well, fine.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Olson, are you on the line tonight?
Oh, yes, sir. I wouldn't mind speaking when the item came up as well.
Thank you, sir. We'll make sure we get you there when the item comes up. And Jill, is it Weitz?
Weitz,
yes. Sorry.
I'm to wait until the issue is heard as well.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Jill. Brenda Schwartz-Jaeger, do you want to wait till the item comes up as well? You're down for transboundary as well? You, absolutely, yeah, no, it actually makes the most sense. And Mr. Burr, you are here tonight. There you are. Hi. Do you want to speak at the actual item too? Perfect. That's great. We'll make sure we get everybody lined up at that time. So I will put that there and reorganize. Is there anyone else that was here to speak on any item tonight? Okay. Thanks. You guys are good to your. You're good? Okay, great. I just didn't want to miss you.
No.
All right. Item four, amendments to the agenda. Is there any amendments to the agenda? Kim?
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, I'd like to request to pull item 6C, which is the DeBoer replat. It's not ready for a standard approval yet.
Okay, so we'll hold on that item unless there's any questions about that from the assembly. I'm not seeing anything. Any other amendments to the agenda? Kim, I don't think there's any other amendments. Item 5, conflict of interest. Does anybody have a conflict with any item tonight? Not seeing anything. Thank you. Consent agenda. This is there's a motion available. Would someone like to read that?
Move to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Moved by Gilbert. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Powell. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please. Robbie?
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howell?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Mayor Presumptive?
Yes. Item 7, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa, do you want to walk us through that, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. There are a number of items tonight. I'd like to start first with reminding the community that on Thursday, the 28th, this coming Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m., the Irene Engle Public Library will be having an anniversary open house to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the library here in Wrangell, and we really encourage everybody from the community to show up for that event. It should be very exciting. I also want to give out our staff longevity recognitions this evening as I do the second meeting of every month. I'd first like to thank Margaret Valarma, who has been working for the borough since 1989, 32 years. I'd like to thank James Early, who works for the Port and Harbor Department. He's been working for the borough since 2001, for 20 years he's been with us. And I'd like to thank Duke Mitchell, who's been with us just for a year, but good service as well, so thanks. Just to remind the assembly that our AccuFund training continues. We're very robustly into the staff going through lots of new things to get them trained up on what they need to be able to use our accounting system in a far more efficient and robust manner. We have the Baylor project ongoing right now. I emailed the assembly about that yesterday. I'd like to ask Tom just to give maybe about a two-minute update on where we're at with the status of that project, please.
Great. Yeah, thank you, Lisa. And good evening, everybody. The Baylor project is moving along well. Today it was moved into place. They attached it to the steel plates and everything on the floor. Tomorrow we'll be drilling holes into the concrete to fix it permanently, and then they will have to hook everything up. I'm hopeful that by the end of the day, Thursday, we can be running that baler, definitely by next week. I've already contacted AML to get closed top containers up here for next week, and have tried to find out from them, does this change anything with our agreement or anything like that, or our contract? I don't believe that it does, but very exciting. The baler is moving. Brett Woodbury worked with technicians from Recycle Systems and our staff with Public Works and the garage department and over at the sanitation department all worked together to get that thing loaded. It was a little hairy here today. Loader tires were off the ground on the back wheels and everything, trying to pick that thing up. The mainframe is 47,000 pounds, so got a little interesting, but had a lot of hands on deck, and we got it figured out, and we got it in place, so we're excited for that.
Thank you, Mr. Wader. Appreciate it. Any questions for Tom?
Thanks, Tom.
No, thanks. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So when can we come see it work?
Like I said, next week it should be working. I'm hopeful that by the end of the day, Thursday, we'll be operational. The technician said he is here until we are bailing, so should be by Friday for sure.
Don't let him off the island until we see a bail.
Yeah. Well, the good news is he works over in Petersburg as well and services them, so he's been here a decent amount of time, so he's familiar with us, which is good.
Thanks very much, Tom. Appreciate that update on that. Lisa?
Thank you. I also want to remind the community that the comments to the Alaska State Redistricting Board are due by the end of the month, actually sooner than later. They have to make their decision as to the boundaries that they will be forwarding by the end of the month. And so if you have not had an opportunity to get your comments in, please do that. You can call the Redistricting Board at 907, I'm sorry, all 10 numbers after 11, that's 1-907-563-0300. Or go to their website, www.akredistrict.org, and you can find a button that allows you to submit a form online there if you'd like.
Why is this important, Lisa?
This is important because with the decennial census every year, the boundaries for legislative House and Senate districts are redrawn throughout the entire state based on new population counts. And we could be put into a district that spans from, you know, the north end of Prince of Wales Island all the way to north of Yakutat if we're not careful. And so the Assembly has come out and supported a district that pairs us with Ketchikan. That's very important, the synergies with our neighbors to the south. And although it may sound like a really great idea to go with our friendly competitive neighbor to the north here, Petersburg, one of the biggest concerns that we have about that is that we have a history of things being centralized into Petersburg, especially state services being taken from us. And we're concerned if we're put into a district with them that might continue at a greater level. So that's the primary reason right there. But please, folks, get out, make your opinions known, and call 907-563-0300 or go to akredistrict.org and submit your comments. So thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks.
And then before I invite a couple of folks here to speak, I just want to remind everybody this will be my last meeting as the borough manager. And I want to thank the members of the community who have reached out to me. Their kindness and thoughts really has been overwhelming. And I just want to say thank you to the Assembly, to the staff, and to the community. It's been my privilege to serve you. And hopefully I'll be able to continue to do that in some form or fashion and going into the future. Moving forward with the transition, I met with the mayor and the vice mayor today to go over transition items, and I'll be meeting with the staff transition team tomorrow to fill them in on things to make sure that we've got as smooth a transition as possible. And my last day will be Friday. And then I'd like to ask Captain Spray, please, if she would provide us with a COVID update. We are having another small resurgence here in Wrangell, so she'll be able to provide some additional information about that.
Just a little bit. Good evening. We're not out of it yet. So as Manager Von Bargen just said, we were at zero for a very short time and super excited, and I think we got a little relaxed. But since Friday, we have jumped up to 11 cases. The majority of those are community spread and close contacts. So we have been able to identify that some of these are can be traced back to a certain event that happened in Wrangell. So just want to reiterate everybody to use caution, please mask up, hand sanitize, and if you're feeling even the least bit under the weather, as noted by some of our most recent cases who tested, thought they just had a little bit of a cold, why should I test? Went and tested, and they've tested positive. So if you suspect anything, please just take the time, go up and... first of all, sorry, call the hospital at 907-874-7000 and schedule a test if you are feeling symptomatic. And for those who want to just find out, are asymptomatic or our testers, or excuse me, our travelers coming in can be tested at any time up at the trailer Monday through Friday. Sorry, anytime. How about 12 to 4, Monday through Saturday. I'm getting it all wrong today. It's all good. So again, asymptomatic testing up at the trailer Monday through Saturday, 12 to 4 for asymptomatic individuals. Statewide, we continue to be in a high where other states have decreased their numbers. The state of Alaska continues to, we're still high, though we are plateauing. We're not still climbing, thank goodness. I talked about being an eyesore before, and for those of you guys can see that, we're still purple, where a number of other states have started to come down. Our hospitalizations also remain up there. We have 241 individuals throughout the state hospitalized today. There were 753 identified cases. We do, on a positive note, have many individuals within the state vaccinated, though we have also decreased as far as Alaska's status for those vaccinated individuals. 60% of Alaskans are vaccinated. Here in Wrangell, we have 1,000 212 that have received their first vaccination dose, 1,260 with their second, and 180 boosters have been given already. The FDA has approved all three vaccinations, the Pfizer, BioNTech, the Moderna, and also the Johnson, Johnson & Janssen for the booster shot. So if you're 6 months past your Pfizer or Moderna, and you're 65 years or older, a long-term care resident or staff member, 18 years or older and have underlying medical conditions, or 18 years or older and work in a or live in a high-risk setting, including healthcare workers, teachers, and grocery store workers, which is really interesting to note, you're eligible for the Moderna or the Pfizer booster. And anybody who's 2 months past their Johnson, Johnson & Janssen are eligible for 18 or older are eligible for the booster. In addition, the advisory committee has passed for and recommended for the EUA or to the FDA, sorry, the 5-11 vaccine. So that will go for final ruling in the coming days, and that will be the Pfizer vaccine. Around us, we have a number of folks who continue to have some high case counts. Our neighbors next door, Petersburg, they're at 8 right now, and they're considered in a moderate state. Ketchikan has 104 cases right now, Juneau with 137, and these are within their last 7 days. So we still have some pretty good numbers. Yakutat, which is, you know, small community, has 8, and Sitka with 30. So we're not totally out of it, and just want to make note of that. I don't have the numbers for testing individuals, those who have come in to our community and have sought out testing up at the clinic. My apologies. I intended to get that from Carly today. I know that they are still offering that testing free to anybody who's traveling in. But on that same note, we do have our airport greeter position that was approved October 1st by the Assembly is posted I believe was sent to the Sentinel KSDK and is posted on the city's website. So hopefully we will see some applicants come in for that and we can start that training, that greeting, and move that forward. So again, with our just recent spike, love to see folks just be cautious out there and have a really low tolerance for getting tested. That's what I got.
Hold on.
Just kidding.
Don't be running away there.
Just right there.
Is there any questions for Captain Spray from anyone? Okay, thank you for that update. Patty.
For those who want the booster, what do you suggest they do?
Sorry.
They qualify.
If they qualify, yes. You can call the hospital, again, 907-874-7000. You can also go to the search.org website. And click on the vaccine, and you can register through that section if you know that you do qualify. Yes. Good question.
Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, and I want to just thank the team this weekend for, you know, it was a very fluid situation over the weekend, and I thought you guys did a great job getting information out to the community, specifically in regards to testing parameters, because there was a lot of stuff on Facebook, well-meaning stuff, but people were kind of getting it a bit wrong here and a bit wrong there. So it's great to get one thing out there that got it all straightened out. So thank you. I appreciate that. All right. I think you're off the hook. Thank you, Captain Spray. All right. Lisa, who's next on your list?
I've got a couple things, and then I'm going to ask Rod to come up. Okay. Mr. Mayor, I want to give a specific thank you to Jeff J. Bush, former borough manager Jeff J. Bush. He was able to, we met with him regarding the Corps of Engineers funding outstanding for Heritage Harbor, and he very thankfully cleared things up, provided the backstory there, and so that report is in there. But I want to thank him for taking that time to put the written report together for us.
Fantastic.
And then I'd like to ask Rod Rhodes. He's going to just give a brief update on the generator status, and then introduce this three-year plan that he has, and then that is actually the work session that is scheduled for the next meeting, is to have Rod go over that three-year strategy for the Assembly coming up. So he's going to spend just about 5 minutes talking to the Assembly about that.
Thanks, Rod. Take it away.
Good evening, Mayor Pizanka and members of the Assembly. I'd like to, I'm pleased to report that I've got four engines that are fully ready and capable of handling the load, any load that we are now experiencing across the community of Wrangell. Those four machines will ostensibly allow us to generate up to 9 megawatts of power. And right now we're seeing loads of 4 in the mornings and then 6 in the evenings. We're in that frame of demand that we can handle quite easily. We did have problems with unit number 5. I do not consider it reliable. We've run it, but I've had Bob Zimke come over from Petersburg and do an assessment of it, and it's sick. It's got some problems as a result of 2 overheating events that occurred both on SEPA maintenance runs and. And so I'm reaching out to a firm called MSI. They are the experts for EMD engines in the Northwest, and they're giving me an estimate of what it's going to cost to fix that engine or bring it back up to full strength.
Ron, if I could just jump in. Sure. That'll be a full discussion about the status of the engine. We'll be part of the work session, and then there'll be a couple items on the next agenda that deal with repairs related to this stuff. So.
I assume that you read my memorandum to Lisa von Bargen, our borough manager, and so if there's some things have changed since that October 17th when that went out, I've now found out that the center seal resection at the end of the present status of unit number 1, I think it's been reported that it can be done for less than $100,000.
We'll do that at the work session.
You bet. All right.
I have a quick question for you, Rod.
Ask me anything.
Your status report, if you don't mind. You said that currently, with the current generation configuration, that we're more than able to handle the draw. We're looking at some colder temperatures coming within the next 10 days, some below freezing. Have you calculated that to determine that if we were to have an outage from SEPA, that we have enough reserve to be able to meet the needs of everybody's heat being on and colder temperatures?
Yes, and the answer to that is yes, we can.
Okay.
In the coldest period of time that happened last year, we bumped up against 9 megawatts of consumption or demand. And the coldest period of time of last year, and that was just for brief moments or brief hours in the mornings and in the evenings, and then it would level back out. And we right now have a generating capacity of over 9 megs.
Okay, so that's a generation capacity of over 9 megs at 100%. You can't run 100% sustained, correct?
It would be unadvisable.
Right. So what is our advisable capacity that we currently have with the generators
that we
have online?
Mayor,
you run at 80%, don't you?
No. No, to say they can't run at that kind of capacity is what I'm trying to convey is that these machines love to run at capacity. They operate best when they're loaded up to a maximum. What I'm referring to is that I have to use all 4 machines at that kind of demand. I don't like being in that position. I don't like having to run all 4 machines to meet that demand, and that's what I'd like to convey.
Okay, so then my question comes back to you. If we are in, let's say, horror of all horrors, we get to a real cold spell,
mm-hmm.
and with okay, where I'm heading here, Rod, is what is the backup if we can't produce the capacity that we need? If SEPA goes down, what is our backup? Can we backfeed from other communities? What is the plan?
We cannot backfeed from another community.
Okay.
We are working with Robert to answer that question. I've talked to Petersburg about being able to backfeed from them, and right now it doesn't look like the infrastructure is in place to be able to do that.
Robert Seidman?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm going to try to have a discussion. I won't take any more of your time tonight. I appreciate this, Rod, but I would like to meet with you tomorrow with the Deputy Mayor, Lisa, at some point when you have a chance, just to discuss a few other items on that. But thank you, Rod. Appreciate that update.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Go ahead, Dave.
So how many of the engines are in our plant right now?
Five.
And what happened to the generators we got from up north?
They're in there.
Well, there's one is in there. Another one has never been. We've not gotten around to finding out that it actually runs. No, we don't know that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else, Rod? We're going to go over your goals at a work session, so I think that, does anybody else have any other questions?
The only thing that I'd like to mention is that, I mean, as to the emergency, we did run Unit 5 after we did a thorough examination of it. We know what's wrong with it. We know what needs to be fixed on it. It does run. And in a dire emergency, it can be relied upon for a few hours, you know, but it does come with risk
right.
to do that.
Yeah, your report was very clear about that. Thanks very much, Rod.
Okay.
Lisa, do you have anything else to add on that item?
I'm sorry?
Do you have anything else to add on that item?
No, I do not have anything else to add on that.
What else do you have for us tonight?
I want to bring everybody's attention to the 301H waiver item and just make sure that that's on the radar screen for everybody moving forward. And I did get an email from our state lobbyist as well about this. He's keyed into this issue, and I have connected him via email with Tom Weber, our public works director, so that they can continue to follow up on that as well, in addition to all of the other things that are outlined in the report.
Perfect. Anything else for us?
No, Mr. Mayor. That's
anybody have any questions for Lisa on her report? Hearing none. Who's up, Kim or Robbie? Which one?
I'm up.
Okay, sorry, Robbie. You're not quite there yet, buddy.
The first thing is I wanted to thank Kate for her awesome newsletter. I put the link in my clerk's report, and I think I sent it to the assembly. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Also, I will be away starting October 31st. I'll be back on November 12th, and in my absence, Robbie will be deputy, and I have every confidence that he'll be just fine. With regard to the post-election training, so I've set the date for January the 8th, and as it gets closer, I'll send out a reminder to the assembly on that. I did talk to the attorney, and he actually, since that day is just a few days before our borough assembly meeting, you know, I mentioned that if he wanted to stay and attend that meeting, he said he is supposed to come to Wrangell twice a year. And so I guess what I wanted to see is a nod of foreheads if you wanted him to stay after that training to attend that meeting. There's no purpose, but, I mean, it would be nice for him to come to the meeting. And
I think that would be really appropriate. He's certainly done that in the past, so I think it would be nice to have the attorney present for one meeting.
Okay. Be good, because he was gone for all of COVID, essentially.
Yeah.
So, let's see. So other than that, I really don't have anything. unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Kim? I think you're off the hook.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Next up, item 9, Mayor and Assembly Business. Does anybody have any reports for the Assembly tonight? Okay. I have a little bit of bad news on my report tonight. I spent the day speaking with the AG's office at the state. I'd had a sinking feeling about a week and a half ago that we were coming back up to the time where our antitrust agreement between Linden and the state was coming due. And we went through this in 2017, early 2018, and the mayor's all agitated throughout Southeast, and we managed to get it kept on for 2 or 3 more years. And I spoke with Lisa, and we decided we'd try to do this survey so we had good data moving forward on freight rates and the effect of the merger that took place in 2013 between Northlands and Linden. Which, by the way, just for historical context, only affected Southeast Alaska. We're the only region that, and specifically Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Juneau, and Prince of Wales Island, that would have only had one barge service. Everybody else would remain at 2 because Samson is based out of Sitka. So they already were established in Sitka. So we had this antitrust language put in place, which was supposed to prevent a monopoly from forming with one barge company in our region. And the idea was that Samson tugging barge would be incentivized by Linden to be able to establish itself in communities that Samson did not have port facilities and resources in. Now, we're unique in Wrangell that we actually, our community owns the ramp and the fill, and so we could actually accommodate somebody, but the building that Samson's based out of in Northland Boyer previously is actually an AML building now. So when we agitated in 17, early 18, to prevent the antitrust measures from being removed, our primary focus was that we had not seen Samson take root in the region as we had anticipated. In other words, they had not bought facilities, they had not entrenched themselves into the communities, and they were not viable. They were not financially viable to continue on their own without the propping up of Linden. At that time, Lisa and I spoke about this, and her memory was excellent on it, but we actually had the AG come and speak to Southeast Conference, and he said at that point that the antitrust legislation would continue on as is. Unbeknownst to us, that antitrust legislation, antitrust language was diluted down to 3 points, and everything else was forgiven. So we've been operating with this diluted antitrust formula since then. I contacted the AG's office on Friday because I didn't know when it was coming up again, and I was told by the AG office it expired September 30th. There was no notice to any of the communities. Ketchikan didn't know anything about it. Our representative, Ortez, didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about it. Lisa didn't know anything about it. Mayor Petersburg didn't know anything about it. Our state lobbyist had not heard a word, and it's gone. The bad news is that it's gone. I met with the AG's office today, and I was like, hey, well, hang on, we've got to talk about this. You need input from the communities, and I was just told flat out, it's done. What they did suggest is, since we're doing this great survey, if we find anything, let them know. And my question back to them was, well, why don't you let me know what you found out to get rid of the antitrust legislation? What compelling evidence do you have that we're not going to wind up with a monopoly in Southeast? By the way, these are really nice people, and nothing on the AG's office. They're super great folks. But my frustration is boiling over. This has been a 7-year odyssey for me personally, and I am just absolutely horrified at what just took place. We gave them all of our anecdotal stories, and I'm hopeful that if we complete our survey, we'll have concrete data, and we've designed the survey to be replicatable in other communities. So we can use the Ketchikan to come up with the same data points that we come up with from the same time period. But recently on Facebook, I raised the question about fuel surcharges, and I really got railed about that. Somehow I was against people who drive tugboats all of a sudden and the strong mariners that bring us our goods and services. No. Just maybe people don't realize that there is no zero for fuel surcharges. If gasoline went down to, or diesel went down to a penny, you're still going to pay 6%. And those are new. Those weren't there years ago. So if fuel surcharges came out when things were really, really high, they've never gone away. It's as high as 18% in some regions. So I am going to be agitating again. And I've asked for a meeting of Southeast mayors at Alaska Municipal League coming up in November. And I've reached out to all mayors except for Craig and Kowak and some of the smaller communities on POW. But I've asked both Nels Andresen of Alaska Municipal League and Robert Venable of Southeast Conference to take this cause up with us and see what we can do. I am fearful that with sort of with Samson, which is not really going to be incentivized any longer to remain in these communities, we will have one barge line and we'll be completely at their mercy. So that's where that is at. And I'm looking forward to seeing our report, which is due by the end of November, and sooner, I hope, if we can get it. But we may be asking the community to reach out as a part of the process to give stories about their freight rates over the years and what they've seen after Northland Boyer was removed from the equation. So if you get a chance, keep an eye open for that and let folks know what you know about freight here in our community. The last thing I'll say is freight was the number one cause of slowing of our economic development in the region. It's always comes way up there when every survey I see. Freight is a reason why we're not growing. People just can't afford. I know of two people who are not building because they can't afford the freight on the house package. So we got to get it under control and do something about it. We're looking at all options. That's my sad news for today. Anybody else have anything happy? No, we're just going to be sad. Okay. All right. We're moving on from assembly reports. Public hearing A, 11A, ordinance number 1013 of the Assembly of the City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending section 5.09.010, definitions, and section 5.09.015, excise tax on marijuana, in Title V, revenue and finance of the Wrangell Municipal Code. With that, I will declare this public hearing open and ask, do we have an administrative report, Lisa?
Mr. Mayor, as with last time, this code revision is just changing the excise tax to match what the state's ruling is on the matter.
Thank you. Does anybody in the audience have anything to add to this public hearing? Okay, thank you. With that, I will close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1013.
We move. Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Seconded by Morrison. Moved by Gilbert. Any discussion? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assembly member Morrison?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Yes. Item 12A. Unfinished business, approval to vacate a portion of Peninsula Street right-of-way adjacent to Lot A, P.C. re-subdivision owned by Dave and Lila Brown, zoned single-family residential.
Move to approve vacation of a portion of Peninsula Street right-of-way adjacent to Lot A, P.C. re-subdivision owned by Dave and Lila Brown, zoned single-family residential.
Been moved by Powell. Do you have a second?
Second.
We'll take that from Howe, seconded by Howe. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Same as we had a discussion on this last time. It was introduced at the Assembly. If anybody has any questions, Carol Rushmore is here to be able to answer those.
Great. Does anybody have any questions for Carol moving forward? I think you're off the hook, Carol. Would you call the roll, please, Robbie?
Assembly member is Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Yes.
David Powell.
Yes.
DeBoer.
Yes.
Gilbert.
Yes.
Morrison.
Yes.
And Mayor Pacheco.
Yes. Thank you. This is item 12B, resolution number 10-21-1616. The Assembly and City Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, strongly supporting efforts to protect transboundary waters, specifically the Stikine River and the ecosystem, indigenous people, communities, residents, and economies that depend on its health.
Move to approve resolution number 10-21-1616.
It's been moved by Powell. Do we have a second?
Second.
It's been seconded by Morrison. Lisa, can we get an administrative update on that, please?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. This has been before the Assembly before. We had a request to do a very specific resolution of support, and the Assembly requested that the resolution be made more localized, very, very much centralized to Wrangell and our specific needs. And we revised that. We had some concerns relayed to us that it wasn't robust enough. I had a meeting with Brianna from Salmon Without Borders, or Salmon Beyond Borders, I'm sorry, and we talked through some of the items. I made some additional changes looking at one of the resolutions that Petersburg passed, using a little bit of their language, and then taking, adopting some additional more robust language that had been requested in the original request that was made to us. And so it's now back before you. I had a meeting with Brianna over the weekend via text and email, and I believe they've got some comments to make on it.
You bet. Thank you. And at this point, I am going to work down our list here. Brianna, are you on there?
I am. Good evening. Can you hear me?
We've got you. Please go ahead, Brianna.
Great. If I share my screen, will you be able to see any individuals, or is it best to not do that?
I'm sorry. We can't. We're not set up for that tonight. I apologize.